Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast.
All right, let's kick off then. So welcome everyone to episode 135 of the Unfiltered Undiscovered podcast. Really amazing show. I think we've already had our entertainment pre-show, but a really awesome show lined up. We've got Curly's big tip for 2024, Lizzie, Jack and the Beanstalks. Oof. As you can see, they've joined us again tonight, and I can't wait to have a chat and find out what's going to happen in 2024. But before we do that, let's welcome the two co-hosts. We've got Rossi looking resplendent in his new setup and from Sydney. And, of course, we got Braggy from Adelaide. How are you, boys?
I'm pretty good, mate. Still struggling with the back, but I'll survive.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm really good, Curly.
Good.
Yep. I'm fantastic here in little old Adelaide. Looking forward to, you know, where I'm going next Tuesday night. I'm going at a function to the Adelaide Oval just to watch them, the groundsman, remove the cricket pitch and put the football square down.
Is it that boring in Adelaide?
Is that nerdy? Is that nerdy? I'm basically like saying goodbye to the cricket gods and welcoming the football deities.
I think symbolism is important. You know, ceremony is what's lacking in a lot of our lives.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
And there's free booze there. Oh, you get
that'll do it.
Yeah. You've got to be there. You've got to be there. Hey, just two little bits of news. I've got to recognize our Kylie, who won her second Grammy on the weekend at the Grammys, and she got it for the best pop dance recording. For a song called Padam. I haven't even heard it. So, yeah, I thought, well done, Kylie. Yeah, only two. That surprised me.
She's awesome, though. I love Kylie.
Yeah, I know you do. And the other piece of news, and Rossi will be all over this one, Audacity, the free recording app on computers, has added some AI features. And you've now got music separation, so you can take a track and you can separate it into vocal, instrumental, vocal, drums, bass, and combine them. And they've also what I think it's called a music style remix in there as well, which helps you create new music from either a prompt or something existing. So AI is starting to come in.
Look, Audacity's always been a really good product. It's been, you know, like, it's been around for a really, really long time. I've been mucking around with a lot of different AI things in the last couple of days, actually. I've been working with, I've been doing a little bit of coding, some web stuff. And the AI stuff that's come in there is extraordinary. Just one button to write articles and things like that. It's just, yeah. Look, it's not perfect and it's not good. As we were talking about last week, AI and digital sort of changing the world, and like with Universal pulling themselves out of TikTok, it's all part of the same game in a funny sort of way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. So
that software they're talking about, Curly, about extracting different tracks is what I think it was developed, if I'm right, by Peter Jackson when they did the Let It Be thing. So now George Martin's son, I forget his name, Giles, has been remixing some of the Beatles tracks. And so what the AI can do is just separate all the tracks. So they say just take out Paul McCartney's vocal and it goes through and takes it all out. And so you can listen back. They've done like Revolver. So if you know the song... I can't remember a Beatles song. Eleanor Rigby. If you read the song Eleanor Rigby, all my life I've listened to that where there's a string quartet coming from the left speaker and Paul McCartney's voice is coming from the right speaker. Now with the remixing, he's in the center of the string quartet, which is really, I don't know if it's good or it's bad. I mean, it sounds unbelievable, but.
Look, I think when they talked to Paul about it, he just said to Giles, mate, you just keep going, man, I'm loving everything you're doing. And so, like, they're not frightened. They're not guys who are frightened of change.
Yeah. No. Well, they never have been, have they?
No, no. No, they've been innovators. And on innovators, the other one that we've, amongst my friends, we found pretty sad this week was the passing of Wayne Kramer on the weekend. Wayne Kramer was the guitarist and founding member of the MC5.
Ah.
Without the MC5, there's no Stooges. Without no Stooges, there's nothing else. There's no Radio Birdman.
No.
There's nothing. The MC5 started in the mid-60s, as we found out last week,
Braggy. As we found out in Braggy's trivia.
And with Wayne passing, it's just, for a lot of people I know, it's a fairly significant moment. And it's there's only one person left, that's Dennis Thompson, the drummer. And that band, as far as I'm concerned, are the godfathers of everything I've ever listened to.
Wow.
Yeah. Wayne, like, for example, Wayne ended up in jail. I don't know if you know. Anyways, his story, he ended up in jail. And The Clash wrote a song called Jail Guitar Doors, The Clash wrote, which is about Wayne Kramer. And then when he got out, he spent a lot of his life devoted to music schemes in jails. And one of the things he said is that America has 3% of the world's population and 22% of the world's jail population.
Wow.
Of which 50% of those people are in for drug crimes. And he just said, yeah, not
unbelievable.
Cool. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting stories.
Alex had your hand up when you started talking there. Was that an influence for you as well?
No, I only just kind of recently started listening to MC5, actually, and then Wayne died. It was...
That's your fault, Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Funny enough, it's the same way. No, you go. It's all right.
I was just going to say, I forget what the song was, but he featured in a live track with Rise Against, and that's how I got into them. I was like, oh, like, it must be pretty cool if he's getting on stage with those guys. And yeah, they go way back, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were pretty close to the Birdman guys. They were out here. They toured out here in 96 with Birdman, or Wayne Kramer did anyway. I saw him a couple of years ago. He's out here opening for Alice Cooper. He had Billy Gould from Faith No More, Kim Thayil from Soundgarden, and the drummer from Fugazi in his band. And they smoked. They were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would have been good.
Brother Wayne's pretty special guy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty amazing that they would start that sort of music that early, like in 63. I mean, you think about what everyone else was doing at that time.
Yeah.
Well, the original band as gang, you know? Band as street gang.
The original garage band, weren't they?
Yeah. And from Detroit. So they got all that James Brown sort of dance move stuff going on as well.
Yeah, crazy on stage, yeah.
You know, there's some live footage on YouTube if you can get your hands on it. It's like there's nothing that good. No one's been that good.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift and let's have a chat to Curly's big tip for 2024. We've got Lizzie, Jack, and the Beanstalks. Of course, we've got Liz, we've got Alex, we've got Jake with us. How are you all? And how's everything been? How would you describe 2023 for you?
2023. I thought you were going to say 2024. I was like, it's been quiet. But 2023 was busy, especially towards the end of the year. We had heaps going on. I think in December, we did like a bunch of gigs in the last couple of weeks of December. But it's been good. 2023 was good.
I think last time we spoke to you, you were just about to do the Yours and Ours Festival.
Yeah. And
how was that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a massive weekend for us.
That was huge. That was the biggest thing we've ever done. So very
So
exciting.
Who else was at that festival, Lizzie?
Now I got to test my memory. Who was headlining? I can't even remember now. Hilltop Hoods were the headliner. What's his name? Golden Oliver Tree, Golden Beaches.
The Vans were there.
The Vans, Flight Facilities, like all your like classic,
yeah.
2010 Australian kind of thing. Baker, I don't really know how to say his name.
No, it's not Baker.
I think it's Barker.
Right.
But yeah, it was a really different experience being like an artist at a festival. It was very different being on the other side of it. It was a bit like a movie because we were playing at midday, which is right. So we would have first like cab off the rank on the Sunday. So not only was everyone hungover the day before and had to get down early, we got down there extra early. And I think we told all our friends like get there at 11:45 because where the entrance is, we're down sort of the other end. So you have to like make your way down. And I'm expecting to like walk out on the stage, like maybe I was just, it's my delusions of grandeur, like to a crowd, like cheering for us, like it was my Wembley. And then I like poke my head out of the curtain and I turn around, I'm like, there's no one here. Like literally no one, not even like four people, there was no one. And then I'm texting my friends and then it was like 11:58 and they said they haven't opened the gates yet. The security won't let us in.
No.
Like, oh my God, what the hell? And so we're like, well, we have to start at 12 because that's like what we've been requested to do. So we start playing and like they open the gate bang on 12:00. And as we start playing the opening of Pyramid Scheme, I'm not gonna say a swarm of people, but you know, like a dozen of our friends like come running in. So that was it was pretty cool. We were like, but until that point, it was just two sound guys and a photographer, like trying to mosh in this big empty space. Wow. I was like, love the hustle, respect, like really appreciate what you're trying to do. It's embarrassing for all of us, but it was weird because it's just like, why? So they wouldn't let people in.
That is a bit strange.
Not only that, but our stage was further away from the entrance than the other sort of small stage. The other small stage was closer to, and they didn't start music there until 12:15. We were bang on 12 and further away from the entrance.
Yeah. It was odd. But other than that, so we had our, like, sort of stampede run. And I don't know if it was, like, it's probably one of the bigger crowds that we played to, which is really cool. Because you've got those, like, really keen, like, just diehard live music fans that will rock up early, like they haven't heard of us or whatever, and they rock up. Like, I'll go down to the smaller band.
That's cool.
We'll have to go ahead on Monday.
I mean, that you guys, that's so pro of you guys, just that you had to start at 12, you started at 12, no matter what. You know, the show goes on. So
it was a very strict timeline. Yeah.
There'd be people with walkie talkies yelling.
Exactly. If it was 12:01 and they're like, why aren't you on yet kind of thing, but no, it was really fun.
What I really liked about that as well is that we were just talking about a band that was in 1963 and Lizzie comes on and says, you know, all the classics from 2010.
There is
a little bit of a generational gap
I
here.
I feel like if you looked at any, if you kind of threw a dart at any of the big bands from like 2010 to now in Australia, like that's who's been the festival headliner the last.
Wow.
So I couldn't remember the bands, but I was like, you know who I'm talking about, you know?
I'm just happy that the headline band was an Adelaide act, Rossi.
Ah, yeah. Of course.
The boys from the hills.
They would have been in trouble if they forgot their laptops.
It was good. I decided not to see him because I went to see a little band from Newcastle instead who got rostered at the same time. I thought nobody was going to turn up for him, so I thought, oh, I'll go and have a look because I'm not the biggest Hilltop fan in the world. And then next thing I get to this tiny little stage and the place is packed because apparently everybody wanted to see this little band.
Who is that?
It was a band called Dust. And they're playing sort of post-punk, kind of like Billy Idol and Block Party sort of merged together. stuff. Wow. They're absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed them. They had a saxophone going through all sorts of effects, and yeah, just one of the better acts I saw at the festival, actually, to be honest with you.
Cool.
That's a cool thing about a festival. You get to see stuff you wouldn't normally see too.
Oh, I never would have seen them. Never would have seen them. But I thought, these guys are on the same time as Hilltop. I'll go see them because nobody's going to be there. And then it was probably the most crowded I've ever seen a small stage. And it was a really sort of aggressive pit, but everybody was really respecting each other. Like, it was on pavement, like our stage. It was the same stage we played at. The ground was pavers, so anybody fell over, it was just going to cut you open like nothing else. But the moment someone started to fall, it was immediately grab him, pull him back up, in you go. You know, just very, very good atmosphere for that. I really enjoyed it.
I saw exactly the same thing happen to a band from Scotland called Biffy Cairo at a Soundwave that happened to you guys. They came on at midday. Yep. These Scottish guys, pale skin, hot Sydney summer, hardly anyone there, people running in as doors open. So, like, yeah, that's just how they do festivals, you know. It's unfortunate, but, yeah, look, you're on the bill. You're on the poster. That's all that matters, guys.
Yeah.
And we have our posters that we've
got. We've got some posters.
Yeah, good.
I gave one to my parents for Christmas.
Did you get a video of the people running in?
Well, no, because we're playing our instruments. Yeah, there is some footage. They had a videographer there. We haven't really looked through the footage. Just because after the end of the year was really, really busy with a bunch of stuff. But maybe someone, but I don't know if the videographer was there at that moment, if they captured it, but it would have been pretty cool. From our view, it was really cool. So I'm not sure what it would look like for them, though.
Yeah,
it's quite dramatic, really.
It was very dramatic. Like, yeah.
I love that. Like Flight of the Valkyries music playing behind them.
So Alex is the lead guitar, Lizzie's vocals and rhythm, and we've got Jake that plays bass. Is Paulie still the drummer?
He is. But he just had a baby, which is added to our...
That's incredible.
Yeah. I had a baby.
I don't know how he did it.
Oh, no.
He's so gifted.
I know. They've had a baby in November, so that's what kind of an added thing as to why we, like, everything's been really busy. But, no, yeah, Paul is still kicking, literally.
Awesome. Yeah. So we spoke to you with Dumb Decisions when it came out. Still love the song. It was my song of the year of the ones that we'd featured on the podcast. So, and of course, the big tip for me was Lizzie Jack to get out of Wollongong and become the next indie darling of Australia. So, big rap. So, how did Dumb Decisions go for you? Because I still love the song.
It's currently our fourth most popular song on Spotify, and it's only been out for 3 months. So it's been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
No pressure, but Braggy's number one tip of the year has already got up, so Curly's has got to get up too.
Most popular is Shiraz Mouth.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's a cracker.
It is a cracker. But the other song that I really have on repeat, whenever it plays on the playlist and it comes, I always play it again, and that's Before I Go.
I had a question about that song.
You go for it. Ask your question.
It's about the lyrics. There's a lyric that goes something like, there's that song keeps coming on about drinking in the sun.
Yeah.
Is that song Tim Mitchin's White Wine in the Sun?
Oh, no.
Is it Darius Rucker?
No.
Oh.
This is a fun guessing game, though. And I'm like, when you were about to say your favorite song, I was like, please say Before I Go because it's my favorite and I always get voted down.
Yeah.
But it's my favorite. No, it is a reference to Sober Coaster by Betty Ray.
Oh, I don't know that song.
So the like hook of the song is I want to spend my lifetime drinking beers in the sunshine, and it was like our like anthem of the weekend. Yeah. So it was like
great song.
I got to check that out.
The song for me, it conjures up like I think everyone's got that one photo or maybe heaps of photos where they've just gone camping with a group of mates. And for me, every time I hear that song, it conjures up that sort of a, you know, you pick up the photo and you can remember every little snippet of that weekend.
Yeah.
And then you've got people on part-time jobs, so they rock up at different times and then they leave at different times. And it's almost like you could write that song. I shared it with my young fella the other day and I said, mate, you could write this song for every generation. And then the lyric that comes up about have you got a phone charger and my phone's nearly dead or something or like that. And he said, well, Dad, that's not every generation. Mate, you got to change the lyrics to make it relevant.
Yeah.
But it's that whole reflection piece of that. It's almost like the one last camping trip before you go and face the big world. Yeah.
Oh, that means like so much because it's my favorite. Like I said, it's my favorite song. And it was just like this really cathartic, like, I love the idea of just being able to write, like, that my whole thing is, like, writing songs about things that actually happen. And my friends, like, love when we play that song because it's, like, my core group of friends that I met at the start of uni and, like, we all went on this camping trip and it was, like, the best time of our lives. And, like, everything kept going wrong, but it was really funny and fun. And whenever we play that live, like, I remember the first time my two best friends started crying. Just, they were just like, they were there, and it's just like, it's really cool to hear that you, like, someone that wasn't there can still, like, relate to it or, like, get that image in their head, which is what I'm always trying to do.
Did anybody bring sunscreen? It's getting way too hot. Did you wanna go swimming? I saw a pretty good spot on the way to the campsite. I'm sorry I got lost. I should've turned right at the blue sign across the road from the shops. Did anybody bring a charger? My phone's nearly dead. And have you seen my sunglasses? I think they're in the tent. And this drink is way too strong. It's going straight to my head. I should have known you. Spinning about.
It's funny you mentioned the part about it reminds you of like a camping trip or like photos of a camping trip that a bunch of friends went on, because we made a lyric video for that song and we ended up getting like a lot of group photos that we'd had with our friends on trips and stuff, and we kind of made a bit of a compilation of these group videos and put the lyrics over it.
I've seen that video.
So it's like a nice little thing for us to watch as well.
It's a great song. Now, we forgot to tell you that we now do a segment called Braggy's Trivia as we're going through the show. So, Braggy, have you got
it's that? It's not trivia. It's Braggy's Hard Quiz.
Hard quiz. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. Can I have a humble brag moment? Sorry.
Yes. On you go.
As you can see, I'm wearing my Taylor Swift shirt right now.
All right.
Yes.
And I went to Hard Quiz Live with Tom Gleason. And he said, does anyone, like, he just says random topics and he picks random people out of the audience. And he said, does anyone know anything about Taylor Swift? And I jumped out of my seat and I spilt my drink all over the lady in front of me. And then I got up and then I won because I knew everything about Taylor Swift.
All right.
If your questions are about Taylor Swift, I'm all over it.
Last week, I had a question about Taylor Swift. I had a question about musicians and the sporting teams they follow. So,
she was the Eagles, but now she's the Chiefs. So
that's right.
No, you are on your game.
That's on Monday. Okay, I try and make it really hard because Rossi's at now. Curly, do you want me to do it in two parts or do you want me to do the whole thing at once?
Rossi, what's your thoughts? Two parts, all at once.
I'm very comfortable with however Braggy wants to play.
Braggy. Now, for the band members, if you've got a piece of paper or something, don't yell it out. Just write down the answer. Rossi's the king, of course. I'm well down in the pauper stages when it comes to what I know. So your goal is to beat Rossi.
Braggy's quizzes are getting harder every week too, I've got to tell you.
I know. Okay, you ready? Everyone's ready.
Wait, so we're just writing it down and then
it's all music. It's all music, so it's not, you know.
Yeah, so just write down your answer.
Okay.
And what we'll do is the band can combine. So for everyone, as long as how's that?
Right.
So three of them against Rossi and
no pressure at all.
I hope there's a Taylor Swift question, otherwise we're going down.
Taylor Swift questions this week, but I love Tay Tay as well. So
good.
Okay, which of these artists has never had a number one single on the American Billboard charts? You ready?
Let's go.
Kiss.
Yep.
Kiss, Bruce Springsteen, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Dylan, Green Day, Nirvana. Okay. Tell me when you're ready for question two. There's six questions.
They would all seem obvious to have had a number one. So
I'm would guessing. They now?
Yeah.
Utterly guessing.
Yeah.
Do you need me to repeat them again? You know that? Kiss, Bruce Springsteen, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Bob Dylan, Green Day, Nirvana.
Okay.
Question two. Who is Peter Gene Hernandez?
Oh, I know that one.
Go, Lizzie.
Good, because I don't.
I've got paper but no pen, so I might be useless to us all.
Right on your phone.
That's right. Just keep it in your head.
My phone is my camera.
I see that, yeah.
Okay. Now, as you know, singers and rock artists always think they can act, and vice versa, actors always think they can sing. But there is five singers who have actually won an Oscar for acting, not like for your best song or anything. There's only five that I can, and I'm happy for anyone listening to prove me wrong, but I've done my research on this. There's only five that have ever won an Oscar for actually acting.
And we're naming them.
So if you one, yep, 1 point for everyone you can get. It's tough.
Male and female?
There is males and females.
Okay.
But there's only five. A lot of them have been nominated, but very few have won.
Mm.
Okay. Last week I did this question and it was cryptic names of Australian bands. You like this was good, wasn't it? So I thought I'd do it. I thought I'd do it again, but for American bands. So these are all American bands, but the name I'm going to give is a cryptic name. So, you know, if you're going to say it was my band Rail Motor, then it would be like maybe Track fucking
Engine.
Track Engine. Yeah, something like that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Velour Subterranean.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Shrewd. It's a hard word to say. Shrewd and the Clan Pebble.
Yep. Got that one too.
Well done, Alex. Okay.
That was Jake.
I'm struggling.
Okay. Number three is Clam Jewel Preserve.
Yeah,
I got that one.
You guys are good at this.
I really want to know what your answers are, to be honest.
Can you repeat the second one? Is that allowed?
Yeah, Shrewd and the Clan Pebble.
Yep.
Okay, this is my favorite one, number four. I feel like I could, now that I've made these up, some of these I could use actually for proper band names.
Yeah.
The Spliff Siblings. Good name.
That is a good name.
The Spliff Siblings.
Yeah, the Spliff Siblings. And the last one is Speaking Noggins.
I got that one. That was an easy one.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Anyone need more time?
Oh, I just figured out the Spliff
Siblings. Yeah, I've got that one.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, yeah.
I wonder if people play this at home when they're listening. They're probably listening while they're driving the car or something.
That's kind of fun, though. I'm actually missing trivia to be here, so this is giving me my pick. Okay,
the second last question. You've got to arrange these musical tempo terms in order from slowest to fastest. Okay.
Musical theory degree, don't fail me now.
Yeah. Yes, go, Jake. And you get an extra point if you can actually tell me the Latin or Italian literal meaning for the word. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Curly, you're going to struggle probably with this.
Yeah, I'll just leave it blank, mate.
Okay. There's six terms. You ready? There's moderato, allegro, largo, andante, presto, and adagio.
Hmm. Right. Sounds like I'm at an Italian restaurant, to be honest. So.
Yeah, no, that was my dinner order, actually.
Okay,
and then there's the last one, last question. I try and do a different person's name every week that's in songs. I struggled this week. Yeah, and you'll see why. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is the last question. Who sang Jennifer Eccles? Ross, you'll know this.
The old song is called Jennifer Eccles?
Yeah, the song is called Jennifer
Eccles. And we have to say who sang it.
Yeah. It's harder for younger people, this one, I think. Not everything, not all of them. Second song is Jennifer Juniper.
Jennifer Juniper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Rossi.
Yep.
Third song is Jenny from the Block.
We all know that
there's
one.
There's an easy one.
Yeah.
There's an easy one.
For us young people know that one.
Fourth one is 8675309 Jenny Jenny.
I've never wanted a pen so badly in my life.
Right on the windscreen. if it was winter, and the last one is my, because I couldn't think of a fifth, is My Generation.
Jenny, don't be hasty.
I don't know. I don't know that one.
Oh, well, that's my question. I'll throw it's a bit Uno reverse. Who thinks Jenny, don't be hasty?
All right.
I got one.
Okay.
Okay.
You want answers now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Which of these
needless
artists...
to say, I've come last, so
I'm not sure.
I'm injured this
week. Which of these artists? You're injured?
Yeah.
Which of these artists has never won, has never had a number one single American Billboard chart? What'd you have?
I said Green Day.
The answer is all of them.
Oh.
No way.
Bruce Springsteen? Really?
Never. No, Bruce Springsteen had number two with Dancing in the Dark, never got to number one.
What? I said
they didn't go to number one.
Sorry?
So I got four then. Yes.
That was like Teen Spirit.
American?
Wow.
Nirvana never made number one.
Wow.
Crazy.
I kind of thought that Nirvana, I said Nirvana because I thought, you know, like they were fringe. Like, I don't know if they were huge, but like they were like against the grain.
Yeah, they were way against the grain. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, so like they wouldn't commercially, like, yeah.
No. For a while there, I could only ever watch it on Rage at night. Like Teen Spirit.
I guess it was Creedence.
Creedence.
You wouldn't thought that. You know, probably Bob Dylan would never have.
Yeah, I
would have thought Kiss would have had a number one.
Nah. They're always been mediocre.
They've got a massive core of fanatics,
you know. They've got a massive core of fanatics, but they've never maybe I Was Made for Loving You, sure knows something that era might have got over close.
They would have had number one in Australia, maybe.
They're a bit of a gimmick band, really, if you think about it.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's funny. I really wanted to say Creedence Clearwater because it's a big joke in my family that I hate. I know, and we always, because I think Alex always brings up, like, let's play this song, and I'm like, not in my house,
John Fogerty's probably happy they didn't make the money from it anyway. So record company would have taken it all.
He would have got ripped as well. Anyway, okay. That's Peter Gene Hernandez is Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
100%. Well done, Lizzie.
Thank you.
Bomb bomb.
I don't know whether I like him or not. He's got some good
tunes. I like his voice.
Yeah, he's got good tunes. Okay.
I went through a period where I irrationally disliked him, but that was because I was jealous.
Yeah.
He's a talent. He's a super talent.
Super talent. Okay. This is in order of years who these singers were who won Oscars. It goes way back. It goes back to 1944 when Bing Crosby won a Best Actor for Going My Way. And then in 1953, Frank Sinatra won Best Supporting Actor for From Here to Eternity. And then in 1968, Barbara Streisand, I love Babs, won a Best Actress for Funny Girl.
Babs, got it. Yeah.
In 1983, Cher won Best Supporting Actress for Silkwood. And then in 1987, she won Best Actress for Moonstruck. There's a talent. And the last one to win it was actually Jennifer Hudson for Best Supporting Actress in Dreamgirls, which I've never seen. Mm.
Did Lady Gaga not win for A Star?
No, she was nominated, but she didn't win. But a song's won.
The song's won. Mm. I was doing a whole story today for work about The Star Is Born and how it's been remade so many times, and that's why I knew. Like, that's why Barbara Streisand was in my mind.
Yeah.
I should have known Cher because that's a big thing in drag culture.
I had Elvis Presley.
I had Elvis too. I thought maybe one of his weird little Hawaiian films might have.
I thought Bette Midler might have been a shot. I thought too.
She was nominated. She was nominated. She is great. I think she's won a Tony.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Cryptic American band names: The Velour Subterranean,
Velvet Underground.
Correct. Shrewd and the Clan Pebble.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Yes. Clam Jewel Preserve.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. And the Spliff Siblings.
The Doobie Brothers.
Yes. And Speaking Noggins is, of course, Talking Heads. Well done.
I got my first ticks.
Okay, yeah. In order, the tempos. Largo is first, which actually means wide.
So yeah, Largo.
Wide gap.
Largo is what you wrote with at uni when you wanted to convey size.
Ah, weirdly. There you go.
If you're talking like a big character in a movie, perhaps, you use Largo.
Excellent. Adagio actually is next. It actually means slowly, so that's fair enough.
Okay.
Andante is next, and that means going. So I guess, yeah, we're getting to go. We're going now.
Keep going.
Yeah. Moderato obviously means moderate. Allegro, I love this, means cheerful. Because there's actually people, I know an Italian girl named Allegra. So
yeah.
I guess that's, yeah, cheerful. And presto, which actually means soon.
Soon.
Mm. There you go. And the last ones. Jennifer Eccles.
The Hollies.
Rossi. Hollies. Well done, Rossi.
Yeah.
Jennifer Juniper. Do you know that one? Jennifer. That's Donovan.
No,
just blank. The three young ones just staring blankly at me.
Yeah, Donovan.
Jenny from the Block is actually by Jenny from the Block, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
867-5309.
Tommy Two-Tone.
Tommy Two-Tone. Yeah. And the last one is the Who.
Yep.
Who wins? Add them up.
I saw a really interesting interesting YouTube half-hour story about the guy who wrote Tommy wrote 8675309.
Oh yeah,
fascinating story. Great song too.
Oh, he's a one-hit wonder, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, but he's a Nashville guy.
Oh,
he's a Nashville guy. Yeah.
Wow. It is a great song. So it's just one of those ones that you can't help singing once you hear it. So, and while we're adding up, I'm going to share something funny about before I go with the band. And I love the lyrics. And for a very long time, I actually had one of the lyrics wrong. And you know where you say the part of the song where you're starting to talk about going and take a picture of us all before you go.
Yeah.
I always, when I first heard it, I love the lyrics, and I thought that is the best lyric I've ever heard. Instead of a picture of us all, I was singing a picture of your soul before you go.
Oh.
And I'm going, that is so deep. And then I'm thinking, it doesn't fit in with the song. Take a picture of your soul before I go. And I'm going,
yeah, maybe we'll just start dripping that in.
Yeah. Add it, feel free to, more than happy to.
Yeah, you got a writing credit.
Yeah.
It's got a very Chili Peppers vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a picture of your soul before you go.
California.
Guys, can't be Chili Peppers unless it's got a reference to LA.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rossi, how many did you get?
I had a shocker. I went 13.
Okay. Well,
that's pretty good.
That's all right.
So, somehow we've got to collate the three together. I reckon Jake did all right.
I reckon they smashed it.
I got 7.
I have 4.
And then
haven't been able to keep.
Got the theory music one.
Jake would have got all the theory, yeah.
What do you
think?
Well, hang on. I reckon the beanstalks win.
I reckon they won.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
like a Royal Rumble tonight.
All right. So let's talk 2024 then. So 2023, really, in my mind, you put out some great music, 2022, 2023. What's on the agenda for 2024? And looking at your Facebook events, I can certainly see you were really busy towards the back end of last year. You played a lot. You had a heap of gigs. So what's what's the plans?
So similar, like I think we're just going to play as much as possible this year and we're going to write as much as possible. I think we're really going to, we had this kind of chat last week and we've got a lot that we want to do, but we're going to be patient, which goes against everything in me, but we're going to take it slowly. And I think the goal this year is to write as much as possible, play as much as possible, and then next year, hopefully, we'll have plenty of new stuff. Yeah. But we've got new songs that we've already written that we've been playing live that we're really keen to record. It's just a matter of, but even like just playing into new audiences. So, like you said, getting out of Wollongong, step one. We're going all the way to Port Kembla in March. So,
Going to the servo?
No, not the servo, the Iron Yankee, which is a new place.
Good.
That's great. yeah, so I think that's kind of the aim for this year, right?
And so, are we thinking just some singles, or are we thinking bigger? With, you know, I mean, that we, you know, everyone seems to have a different take on how to do it in these times with the streaming services. So, what's the plans? What's your plans there?
We're aiming for something a little bit bigger next year.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, hence the, I guess we'll do a bit of recording and build up a bit of a backlog of stuff that we can release and. Obviously still play all of those songs that we're recording live and test out some new stuff when we play gigs and that, but
it's a good way for the songs to develop too, giving them that live run. You go, oh, actually it's better to do it that way.
Done Decisions in its original it's completely different.
They get all these nuances that come from playing live all the time, little licks, little touches, you know, like you just knock the rough edges off.
And you get like instant feedback as well, which is really good.
I like feedback.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's a weird thing because sometimes like you'll be like, oh, we're playing a brand new song, no one's heard before, and it's like, okay, was it like, you can't sing along, whatever, that's fine. But then like right after, people will be like, I really like that song, and they remember.
Which
I think is really cool. Like when you see people singing along, like we've got a couple of songs we play live now that we haven't got recorded, so they don't exist anywhere except for when we can play them and people sing along. It's like really, it's one thing if people sing along to songs that they listen to, but to remember and then sing back to us is very cool.
But also,
when they
like
sing along with them, we've just been playing live.
Audience will give you immediate feedback as well. Like you'll be able to tell straight away if it's working. Like straight away. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like if people zone out and, you know, start going to the bar or getting on their phone, it's like, oh, okay, maybe.
Get on the phone. That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had moments live where I've played something a little bit differently and then I go, damn, I wish I recorded that when we were in the studio.
Yeah, well, that's what's good about playing before you'd actually do that.
So do you think you got a bit of a bounce out of playing at Yours and Ours? Are those guys, you know, going to do some more stuff? Because they've kind of got a stranglehold over where you guys live, haven't they?
They do. We already had a pretty good relationship with the Yours and Ours crew. So, like you said, they organise a lot of the venues around here. So we already had that relationship with them. I think more so like playing at the festival just opened us up to
that's good, that's really good.
It gave us that little bit of recognition to
and a bit of credibility as well.
Probably a better way to put it.
Yeah,
I think there was even somebody that messaged our Instagram account after the festival had seen that we were playing again at Taraji Beach. I think that was a gig that I was unable to do, we had a fill-in. But they messaged and was like, hey, I wanted to see you guys at Yours and Ours, but I couldn't make it. When's your next show? And we told them about the Taraji Beach show and they showed up. So that was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, that's great. Love it.
Yeah. And looking at your gigs at the back end, you can certainly tell you're a Wollongong band. You've gone to the Gerringong Bolo, the Taraji Beach Hotel at Wollongong, Dusty Lizard at Wollongong, North Wollongong Hotel, the University of Wollongong, La La La's at Wollongong. You went to Thurl, which is in Wollongong.
You've conquered
Gerringong.
The Illawarra.
Dirangong's arguably a bit further south, but
yeah, I wouldn't call that Wollongong. I wouldn't call that Wollongong.
Yeah, Dirangong's in a different LGA, so you know, yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to visit and look, you know.
Yeah,
no, that's right. Right.
Yeah,
that's on the coast. Is Dirangong on the coast? Is that on the coast?
Dirangong's on the coast. Yeah. It's like near Kiama, you know, Kiama.
Yeah.
Pretty well the same town.
So, Rossi, last week we talked about Sydney reclaiming the mantle as the capital of music here in Australia. How do we get Wollongong bands out of Wollongong and get them to Sydney?
Well, I know a few of them who do come up already. There's a hard rock band called the Dark Clouds who have been around for a really long time. And they'll play anywhere. But yeah, venues like the Duke, the Mosh Pit, the Vanguard. It just depends on your bill for the pit. I think it depends on who Bob puts you on a bill with there, I think. But repetition, isn't it? You just got to get people to know who you are. Every time you move 100 kilometers up the road and you're starting all over again, it's a bit frustrating, but it is what it
pretty
is.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing for us this year is to venture out, because it's one of those things where, like, we all work 9 to 5 and then, we get offered a gig on a Friday at 8 o'clock. It's like, well, can we get there? You know, if we've got to be there at 7 or whatever, we finish up at 5. You know, like, it's just all the logistics. Yeah. Yeah, and...
But as your profile gets bigger, that gets much harder to do.
And so I think that Newcastle is another one we want to do.
Yeah.
So what are the gigs in Newcastle? Smith's Alternative in Canberra. Have you heard of that one? It's a bookshop. Smith's Alternative. It's very good. There's another one that's just opened as well. But Smith's in Canberra is a good one. I think that it'd suit you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember there was a coffee shop, bookshop, cafe thing that messaged us about doing a gig? Nothing ever eventuated, but I don't think it was called that. But it was like a bookshop.
It does sound like Smith's. That's what they are—a bookshop.
Yeah, maybe that's what it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. I'll be there in a couple of weeks. Actually, I should check it out.
Yeah.
There's a couple down there. I'm actually seeing my Canberra correspondent this weekend. Actually.
Ooh, I didn't know you had a Canberra correspondent.
Yeah, I do. A former touring partner is coming up. We're going to see The Darkness together.
Yes.
Yeah,
that'll be good. Yeah,
I'll probably be in Canberra for Groove in the Boom, I think, later.
She's going to see them Friday and then driving to Sydney to see them Saturday as well.
I love that.
Their live show must be absolutely insane.
Fantastic. Love them.
So it sounds like I've got to change my tip, guys, to the biggest thing in 2025.
Well, I know. As you were saying that, I was like, oh, God, how do we break it? Like, I think this year we're knuckling down to...
You didn't want to hurt Braggy. You didn't want to hurt Curly.
You can't hurt me. I was right with my tip.
I've just changed it down the bottom. Curly's big tip for 2025.
Yeah, better late than never.
Yeah, no. There's lots going on, like, personally for us as well. Like, I'm getting married in a couple months. We've got people going on trips. We got the new Beanstalk baby is just putting a bit of brakes on us this year, but we're not gonna go anywhere. All sort of said that. Nobody's going anywhere. We're all really committed and keen to make the Beanstalks work. It's just a matter of, right, we've got to do this first and then we'll, you know, reassess. Yeah. But, it's just a little bit slower this year with definite work happening behind the scenes, I think.
It
means consolidation. Consolidation time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It does mean that when Curly, Braggy and Rossi catch up in Sydney, we might have to coincide it with a Beanstalks gig in Wollongong and travel down to catch them.
Well, let us know when you're in Sydney and we will make an effort to get a gig up there. I feel like we were more proactive back when we had James in the band, because he was the original lead guitarist. He was really into that, like, in a West Indie music scene. So like anything that pops, like we played, I feel like when we first started, we played in Sydney a lot more. And then COVID, I don't know, it's like a like lots of factors gone into it that we just like,
but it's saying, okay. It's okay to say it's my fault. It's fine.
I was saying no.
I was saying to the guys last week that there's a number of venues in Sydney that have got like a booking 5 months in advance. It's getting really hard. Like there's a logjam of, and like COVID spawned dozens and dozens of bands. And at those entry level and starting like early career gigs, they're churning through bands week after week after week. I've never heard of any of them, and it's like.
Yeah. Ooh, well, it's like all these bands popped up and all these venues.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we've talked with a lot of bands recently who are just having their first gig.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good. And there's lots more little festivals too popping up everywhere, isn't there? So,
We're actually playing in Gerringong in March at a festival, a like little kind of indie festival called Surf Life. That will be really good.
It's a lovely town, isn't it?
Gerringong's great. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mick like Cronin's hometown, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh. Mick Cronin. Yeah.
So. Is Frank Sultana from there too? Or is he from Kiama? I might be pulling
the
out.
The band's from Kiama. Actually, Gerringong is where Pacific Avenue are from.
And Hockey Dad from down that way too, aren't they?
They're from Windang.
Hockey Dad from Windang.
Yeah, Windang. Which is like Wollongong. Pacific Avenue, they're from Gerringong.
Yeah, we might have to come down and just take Wollongong out. There's too many bands turning up. We'll have to send some of our invading Sydney forces down.
Yeah, get the turnbuckles there and the beanstalks can support them. So,
well, it should be the other way around.
Get the old men in Lycra as the support act and Lizzie Jack as the headline. That's the way to go. That's the way to go. Oh, guys, once again, it's been awesome having you on the show. It's always a lot of fun talking to you guys. You guys produce great music. You've got such awesome, unique lyrics. And even like there's a lyric, and once again, I'm going to go back to Before I Go. There's a really obvious lyric that you don't go to, and it's when you're talking about the phone and it's nearly dead, and have you seen my sunglasses? The obvious lyric is they're
on my head.
And that's the obvious one, but you don't go there, and it just makes it such a...
Curly's such a fan. He likes even the lyrics that they don't sing.
Yeah.
On my head.
So you have to write the sequel to the song.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's but a bit Braggy's like, kind of, like
it's a bit like some kind of monster where the therapist thought he'd join Metallica. Yeah.
But Braggy's like that too. He doesn't like lyrics that are quite obvious. He likes to work a different slant with them as well. So you're thinking there's an obvious line here and all of a sudden it's a different one.
I love that too.
Yeah, I'm a massive lyric fan. So, you know, I love that. Mm. I love that.
Absolutely.
That's why I like you guys, because I just like that, you know, the lyrics about everyday stuff that everybody relates to. If you keep writing that, you're going to have some success, because everybody, even old bastards like us, can relate to it. So, yeah.
Common.
Yeah. I feel like I want to get that quote. Like, if you keep writing like that, surely you'll have some success. Put that on the bumper sticker, and then that can be like
the fridge. Put it on the fridge.
Foreshadowing, and like, yeah, okay. If we ever make it, we'll be like Braggy said. If we just get writing like this, we'll make it. In our Aria speech.
We'd like to thank Braggy.
Keep writing like that.
Taylor Swift.
That's the same as the Golden Guitars. We just want credits at award shows.
We had a couple of our guests this last year on the red carpet at Tamworth at the Golden Guitars, and not one of them said thanks or shout out to the boys. So we're going to make it. We're going to make a condition of coming on the show that their first public opportunity is to say hello to the boys.
Absolutely.
We just need one break.
We'll make a note of that.
Please do. So, Rossi, it's time for your backstage story, and then we'll start to close the show.
Look, okay, there's a couple I could go. I was thinking about it. I, like when the guys earlier on were talking about, you know, moshing down the front of the stage, as a stage guy, I've always really hated it. Like we used to build giant barricades. We'd get road cases, flip them upside down, bolt lighting truss and put it down with chains just to stop the crowds coming at the stage. Because I've seen wedges fly, hit people in the head, take mic stands, almost take teeth out, stuff like that. Anyway, I was working for a band who shall remain nameless. But
you can't do this.
Okay. We're doing the Lime Spiders.
Okay.
Yep. Lime Spiders back in probably 1989, maybe, I think, something like that. They're playing at the DY Hotel, which was like full of big, buffy surfer blokes, right? And this guy gets up and he just runs on the stage and stage dives. And I'm incensed. I'm furious, right? Yeah, like he just got through. I couldn't get to him. Anyway, I'm standing there. He's come. He's had another go. And I've gone after him. And I've missed him by about a foot and a half. He's just run past, grab. Lo and behold, he's come back again. This time I've got out there early. I've come out of the blocks really hard. I've grabbed him. He's grabbed me. I've turned around and realized he was about a foot and a half taller than me. He's jumped and he's taken me with him. We're both with the crowd. As we're in the air, I've flipped around like that and landed, and I rode him into the ground. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, God. And I ran backstage and I didn't come out again because I thought he was going to kill me.
I mean, you were in DY. You probably could have done.
Good effort, though, Rossi. So is that your only time you stage dived, Rossi?
Yeah, he's the only time I stage dived.
it was a tandem jump.
I've gone, oh shit, I'm gonna die.
It's like going on a high dive with your dad because you're too scared to go from too high.
My dad is convinced that he was at the first ever, like, the invention of stage diving. You know Pat Drummond?
I do know Pat Drummond.
Yeah. So he's like a friend of my, like, family friend.
The rest hotel every Friday night for like 30 years.
Oh my God, you probably know my dad.
Really?
And so my dad reckons that at the rest hotel, that's where stage diving was invented, when they were doing Astro Boy and everyone put their arms up and then someone just jumped off. My dad is like adamant.
He used to fill that room for years.
Yeah. We go to Jamboree Pub all the time and go see him. Talking about the lyrics. So many of his songs make me cry. Cool. Like, I'm obsessed. I love all his songs.
And make you laugh too?
Oh, absolutely. If you're not crying, you're laughing. Like, they're so good.
It's interesting.
I love him.
Well, I'll stand with your dad and say it's a very good chance.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting
story than Rossi's.
Yeah, it is.
I wasn't even there.
They've been clubbing me all night, these guys. I'm sick of them.
I'm still trying to get back from your first remark. Does Adelaide have a city?
Classic. So a big thank you to Alex, Lizzie, and Jake for joining us tonight, guys. It's been absolutely awesome. I wish you every success in 2024, please, because that was my tip, right? So just put a couple of we'll start caning the life out of before you go. Let's see if we can make a 2022 song really ramp up for you guys. But we'll have your links in the show notes, of course, so, and we'll edit in before you go into the episode somewhere, so people can, if they like you, they can go check out your links in the show notes. And of course, it's they're great people. Listen, they've had a laugh with us, they've shared a little bit more about themselves and their band and where they're going. Good luck with the wedding, good luck with the beanstalk baby, good luck with everything that you've got happening for 2024.
Beanstalk baby. Alex, have you got a band for your wedding?
Oh, it's Jake.
That's twice now. That's good. Well done. It's actually a really good friend of mine who I've known for years. He's the lead singer of my brother's reggae ska band. His name's Tay. He's going to be doing the aisle song and, you know, songs during the ceremony. But unfortunately, the venue we've gone for probably wouldn't really fit the type of band I'd like to have, you know, like a bigger sort of funky sort of band. So we're just going to have a Spotify playlist made up of songs requested by our friends. We put on the RSVP cards, "I promise to dance if you play this song."
That's cool. I love it.
Yep. But yeah, for the you guys could probably reach out to Chuparosa, who's the reggae band I mentioned. You could probably get them on, but and have a bit of a good time. But there's 9 of them, and they're all busy with life and kids and playing one gig a year. So you might have a bit of trouble, but it's worth trying.
Sounds like a reggae band.
Like Realm Motor. So, but anyway, so if you've enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe wherever you've watched or listened to us. Leave a review. We love that. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. Lizzie Jack's songs are also in the Unfiltered and Undiscovered playlist on Spotify, of course. So, and I'll just keep adding a couple because we've got to make them blow up in 2024. So please check them out. Lyrics from the playlist comes from a good friend of mine in Melbourne, Roy Cassina. And this is from a 2012 release called More to Me. And the lyrics are, "'Cause you mean more to me than anything I know, but if it's hurting you, I'd rather go." And that's how we're going to end tonight. So thank you all. Thanks, Lizzie and the team. It's been awesome. We'll see everyone next week. Bye.